I was inspired to write this talk after a couple of distressing, disappointing program evaluation experiences. One at a local county health department where we were working on quality improvement, performance training, team building, that type of thing. And then we discovered pretty quickly that there was nobody at this health department that could deliver this kind of education, training, team building work. Mm-hmm. And I said, the nurse manager is a friend of mine. I said, why don't you just do it yourself? He said, I don't have the training or the time to do it. So they have no resources at all. There's no money, nothing. So a very basic thing having to do with staff development they could not do. The second event that's an ongoing event is a program evaluation that I am doing now, and the person who fixed me up with this program evaluation is sitting in the office in the audience, so I have to be kind of nice, Emily. This is a very, it's a big $3 million, I think, federal grant program to the community health system portion of the local hospital, a project focused on home visiting and families at risk for child removal due to substance abuse. It's a big deal, and I'm a decent program evaluator, but I walked into this thing and realized the whole setup was wrong. And, here's what I did to fix it. Anyway, this is to acknowledge that I do get paid for this work, an outside private contract from my real job, which is a professor of nursing at James Madison University. So here is the background. Quality improvement projects often suffer from evaluations that are pretty poorly conceived. Evaluations are not planned first, right? Those of you who do this kind of work know that the evaluation has to be planned before you implement the program, right? They're poorly conceived, often with poor study designs. You know, everybody thinks that, well, the programs work. We just need to show that they do. But that's bass-ackwards, if you pardon my French. Your study, your program needs to be designed so you can actually collect data to show that it does work. And not infrequently, there isn't enough good data to show anything at all about the program, much less that the program actually was responsible for the outcomes. So for this one, this was an evaluation that was already designed, kind of, for this federally grant-funded home visiting program. The program to be evaluated was already in progress and had been designed without adequate attention to any kind of study design, or at least effective study design, data to actually evaluate outcomes, or any kind of analyzable data for program implementation. So we didn't have things from the start. Boy, I wonder how much to tell you about this. Let's see. We'll see how much time we have. Federal technical assistance was, a pain in the tail. They were completely rigid and inflexible, and I cannot tell you how much stomach acid was produced by the program implementation team on the regular phone calls with this group of feds who, people are nodding in the audience, I've done a lot of federal grants. I've never seen anything like it. Never. Anyway, demanding beyond all reason and certainly beyond the means of the local program capacity. And let me just say this, the program, the logic model, the grant funding, the evaluation, the data collection, everything had been previously approved by this program team. Unbelievable. So one solution to trying to get this together was to use a Bamberger's real-world evaluation approach to evaluating this program. Bamberger has done different works. He's got a book out. There's an article called Shoestring Evaluation, and then there's a slide I'll show you. There's a thing on the web that will take you through this approach to program evaluation. But it's nice in particular for public programs. It was actually designed for international programs, but it's nice for public and public health programs because it takes into account, maybe this is true for private things too, but in the public domain, you always have stakeholders whose expectations, in the case of our feds, are unreasonable or just frankly crazy. There are always data limitations because the data that you said you were going to collect, if you happen to say that up front, is never what you want in the end to evaluate your program. And I think this happens very reasonably, not just because program evaluators are stupid, but because programs evolve over time. So you need good data to start with, but you also need the flexibility to pursue other data as your program evolves and as your federal liaison demands other things from you that were other than what was in the program design. And of course, political considerations, especially if you're dealing with something like taking children out of their parental homes for substance abuse. So there are huge political considerations, and in this project, there are multiple human service agencies involved. It's a partnership model, and they all want to look very good, and we need them to be completely invested in this. Political considerations include not just the partners to the project, but the federal grantor, the hospital system in which it's housed, and the people themselves in the group. So real world, this is from Bamberger's website, real world evaluation resource materials. And this, again, you can see from the background, this is primarily directed at international programs, but boy, does it work well for public health department stuff and local community health approaches to evaluation. So you can download this whole thing on Kindle. And I am familiar with Bamberger because it comes from my hometown, and so every school there is imbued with Bamberger stuff. But I just Googled Bamberger, and I was looking for the shoestring evaluation article, which is, as every good graduate student knows, there's always an article before the book, and the article actually has all the seeds that you need. You don't have to read the book. So here is the article. And this one, I think I put the red arrow there to point out when you use this, and this is the second scenario for me, not the first. The evaluator is normally called in at the start of the project, but for budget, political, logistical, or methodologic reasons, it's not possible to collect baseline data. So we had major design flaws going into this project. Our even our intervention was reconceived after the program had been approved and was implemented, and nothing was going right from the very beginning, and we essentially redesigned the entire program and the program evaluation on top of it and using this approach. So there are particular steps to real-world evaluation. I guess I won't bug you with reading them. You can look this up. This is from the shoestring thing, but you got to figure out what scope you're going to do with this evaluation. And it was gigantic to begin with. The feds wanted a randomized controlled trial of two communities. and then you got to look at how much money you've got. That was not an issue for us. How much time you have. Certainly time was an issue because we're midway through the grant already. Data constraints were a big issue. Strengths and weaknesses of the existing evaluation design, and then identifying how to strengthen the existing poor evaluation design are roughly a step. So this is what we did to fix them. You can see on the top your left what the constraint was. Those are Bamberger's constraints. What was actually wanted, and that was generally by the federal liaison, and what we did about it. So what the grantor wanted was a randomized controlled trial of two communities after the program was already implemented. Look at the head shaking. It's like, yeah, I couldn't believe it. And I came in, it's like, well, there is no comparison community. And are you suggesting that we dig one up now? Oh, yes, that's what they wanted. We spent 6 months on that. There's no randomization in our intervention because both the first intervention, which is not the one that we're evaluating, but the second intervention, we used motivational interviewing. The problem was that every single provider in the five-county area was trained in motivational interviewing before the grant was implemented, so there was no comparison of, and you can't use a proven intervention with a randomized design, right? Because you can't withhold a proven intervention from people. So anyway, we moved to cognitive behavioral therapy, which is cool, right? It's neat, but we can't randomize for that either because it's also a proven intervention, and the people in our population, in our panel, are vulnerable populations. These are people who are under coercion from court systems or from obstetrical providers or whatever, and their children may be removed if they don't do the program. So the people who are in particular court-ordered picked CBT. The people who are not court-ordered can pick CBT, or they can pick Healthy Families, the regular program, okay? Or both, they can have everything. So our categorization is completely messed up. So what we did was decided that we would frame this as a quality improvement project. What a great idea. This is a program. What we want to see is improvements in this population. We might as well do it like a real public health quality improvement program. So that's what we offered them. They hated it. It took me a year to get this evaluation plan approved, but they did it. Budget was not a problem. We had so much money left over from the earlier firing of the previous program evaluator and the gigantic budget for program evaluation. If you're doing this, make sure there's a big budget in there. And some people recommend 5%, some people recommend 10%. I probably don't need as much money as I get out of this, but man, is it luxurious to be able to really indulge yourself with it. And if you don't have any money, you can't go back and redesign all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Time was an issue. They wanted an annual, even every 6 months, sometimes every quarterly for every element. We couldn't get the data. We can't even get the data yet. We just got our first uploaded data a year and a half into the project. So we're going to give them a third year only, but we'll give them some, it's a 3-year grant. We'll give them some baseline data. We can now tell them what the patient panel looks like, family panels look like. We can tell them how much money has been misspent so far on this grant. And we can tell them how well the intervention has been implemented. But we will have no comparisons until after. The client data, we will do pre and post with internal controls. In other words, we have all these federal tools we're supposed to use on people. We measure them as they are enrolled in the program and consent to it, and then again at 6 months. With sudden, they pick 6 months. We wanted a year. But they pick 6 months because they don't want to lose. We have tremendous loss to follow up with substance abusing families, as you might imagine. So we're not using external controls. There's no external comparison group at all. It's pre-enrollment and 6 months in, and they are being compared to themselves to see if there's any improvement. The data stuff, we'll give them the collaboration, Wilder Collaboration Factors Index, inventory, whatever it's called, Emily, to measure partnership cohesion and value in this program. And we will measure CBT fidelity as well as MI fidelity, although nobody cares about that anymore. The original stakeholders are the feds who threw us through the garbage disposal over this. Our real stakeholders in this are the partners, the people who are serving these families and the families themselves. So we switched that, and they seem to be copacetic with that. Finally, the design. Client services only, the partner design hadn't changed. Evaluation of the partnership program hadn't changed. From random assignment to CBT and a community comparison to client selection of whichever program they want. Internal controls, pre and post comparisons. And we are looking at the motivational interview and providing interesting coaching, audio tape recording coaching sessions with home visitors and their clients. This is mostly for staff development to keep this portion of the intervention going, because we aren't really going to measure the outcome. So that's what we did. So the obvious lessons were the program evaluation has to be planned before implementation. We learned to use the models to apply to this local program and recharacterized it as local program improvement. We were never able to satisfy the federal funder, but we were able to expand capacity quite a bit by bringing in some outside expertise, me and some other people. We engaged the local program for a great deal of improvement amongst the partners, and we will be able to illuminate which programs are most likely to be effective in this very small, under-resourced rural community. So federally funded public health programs and others often come with the expectation that public health departments have evaluation capacities far beyond what is realistic for small agencies. That doesn't mean that they don't need money to do this stuff. They do. But there are practical ways of doing this. And contracting with local experts can be very, very expensive. And local experts don't really like doing this kind of local work. It's too small. It's not very gratifying. It's not clean either. To be successful, federal funders may need to have more realistic expectations of what can be done, and that needs to translate into study design, quality improvement, as opposed to research per se, and with the beneficiaries of this quality improvement approach being actually local health, the community, rather than federally funded research and publication. And I think that's